think this is going? Oh, maybe it is. Okay, we'll try both. We have backup. Oh, well, I am really excited to be here this morning. Thank you guys for coming. What a great turnout. This just always blows me away the last few years, just the tables and just the fellowship together and being here together. And I'm just really excited that you're here. I have some things heavy on my heart to share with you this morning in regards to love, in regards to loving each other. And I'm going to preface it by saying some of these things are going to be hard, because when you get down to it, loving others is hard. It's hard work. There's some aspects of love that don't come naturally to us. Some of it we really have to work for. So some of this is going to be hard. It's been hard for me as I've been going over my notes and writing things that I really felt like God wanted me to share this morning. I've gone, this is really hard for me. This one's really hard for me. So if any of you are like me, you'll find that some of these points are probably challenging. So I just wanted to say that. My prayer for you this morning is that you would be convicted and challenged in what areas you need to grow in. Whether it's in how you show love to the lost or whether it's in how you show love to your church. That God would just drive those home in your heart this morning. So I've been praying that you would have open hearts to hear from the Lord this morning through what I have to share, and that I wouldn't get in the way of that. I have a lot of scripture. The church office was so kind and made these super cool little booklets this morning of my notes, of our agenda, which, by the way, we're off on our agenda. Just, you know, we're ladies. We just like to chat and chat. So I will tell you that I won't be done by 11:15. I'll get done when I get done. And then we'll move on to the prayer group. And so it's possible this will go past 12. So if you do need to slide out at 12, please feel free to do that. For those of you who need to get home or have somewhere else to go. Otherwise, maybe put in your head right now, we're not going to be done at 12. Just so you know. So there's that. And so anyway, this message is full of a ton of scripture. I'm going to be reading lots and lots of passages, because I think God's word in regards to love and in regards to all things in our life is our blueprint. And there's so much meaty stuff that I was just finding. And when I was gathering scripture for this message, the Lord just kept popping out all this stuff. So there's a lot of scripture. And I was convicted just to share this verse this morning. It's not in any of my notes, but as I was actually visiting with April this morning, God just put this verse on my heart, and I just wanted to share it right now in regards to God's word. This is Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and effective and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's what God's word does to us. And so I'm trusting that a lot of this scripture here will really penetrate your heart this morning and reveal to you where you need to grow. So I just felt convicted to share that verse with you this morning. So I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to jump into this. Father God, I just thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for these ladies. I thank you for bringing so many of them here. I thank you for this time to fellowship and to just enjoy each other. I thank you for our church. I thank you for how it's what brought us all together. I just ask that you would bless this morning, that you would speak through me right now, that my words would be from you, God, that I would convey the things that you would like for me to share, and that our hearts would be open to hear from you this morning, Lord. I just lift these things up in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first part of my message I'd like to share about loving the lost, but the verse that's on your journal, actually, and on the front, the first verse in here, it's kind of the verse that I want to preface this whole message with, and that's 1 Peter 4:8, which is, above all else, love each other deeply, for love covers a multitude of sins. I just think it is such a powerful verse, so I want you to keep that verse in your mind as we're going through this message this morning, that love covers a multitude of sins. So I wanted to start out by talking about loving the lost, and I actually kind of find it ironic that that's my dad's current series. He and I did not talk. He didn't even know that I was sharing here today, so last Friday when he started this Being a Light, Ambassadors to the Lost, I was like, what is he doing? He's stealing what I'm going to talk about. That's what was going through my mind. It wasn't right, but that's what I was thinking. then I just had to laugh, and I said, well, Lord, I think that's probably from you. You obviously have put that on my heart to speak about that, and obviously it's on his, so maybe that's something we need to grow in as a church. I don't know, but there's a reason for it, so I'm going to go with it. So this idea of the lost and being a light has been on my heart for this last year. I mean, it's something that's always there, but God's just been kind of stirring my thoughts on that, what it means to be a light. So my first point here is, as a way of loving the lost, it's to be a light, to be a light. So what does that mean? So I'm going to share the verse that my dad actually shared last week, which is Matthew 5:14-16. You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. So being a light. I'm going to share a few stories on how God's been challenging me in this. So this is kind of a funny story. Last fall, I got this great sweatshirt that I love. It's gray. I love everything gray. And I brought it. Brought it to show you this morning. And it says kale. Which, I love kale, and I love gray, and I got a kick out of the fact that it looks like it should be Yale, but it's kale, you know. So I bought it just as, you know, hang around the house sweatshirt, because it's really comfortable. But I started wearing it out of the house sometimes to run errands, and I kid you not, every single time I wore the sweatshirt out of the house, somebody would comment about the sweatshirt. Does that say kale? Like Yale? Cool. This is ridiculous. This is just a silly sweatshirt. Why is this a conversation piece? But every time, like, I was in the checkout at Fresh Time, and the cashier was like, cool, I love kale. And I was like, me too.
Maybe I should stop wearing it.
I don't know. It just made me laugh, but it started making me think, wow, people really pay attention to what's on your shirt. That's, I just didn't realize that, you know, it would catch people's attention. So, another side of that is, a lot of you know that my husband John is a teacher. He teaches at Osseo Senior High School, which is in a tiny little town of Osseo, which is right in between Maple Grove and Brooklyn Park. So you'd miss it if you didn't know it was there. But it has a really large high school. So he teaches at the high school, and then he is the head cross country coach, and then he's one of the track coaches. So we're kind of really involved in this high school because of him. The kids and I love to, we're really a cross-country family because that's my husband's passion. He's a great coach. He's been doing it for 7 years. So for the last 7 years, we've been kind of trying to be involved with him. But during those 7 years, I've had babies most of the time. And so it's only been the last couple of years that I've been in the point where I didn't have babies anymore, done with toddlers, my health is a lot better, I've been working through some health challenges, that I really felt like the Lord was saying, you just need to be all in. You just need to, now that you're in this place of freedom, you just need to be all in. So this last year, this current fall, because we just finished the season, I just felt the Lord saying, I want you to be at every single meet with those kids. If you can be there, do it. So we, by God's grace, made it to every single cross-country meet this fall. And our goal was to be team cheerleaders, because none of our kids are old enough to be on the team, but we wanted to be the team cheerleaders. And so our house, because of his 7 years of coaching, we have so much orange and black. That's the Osseo colors in our house. I can't even tell you how many orange and black t-shirts we have. But we just decided we are going to look like we are supporting this team. We are going to promote Osseo when we go to these meets. So I went so far as to even get myself a Osseo cross country super fan shirt this year. Wear these to the meets, right? Because we're super fans. And we would just cheer our hearts out for those kids and that team. And I tell you, the blessing of that was we built some really cool relationships with these kids. I did not envision myself being in this role of having all these relationships with high schoolers and middle schoolers in this way, but it's been really cool, and our kids have developed some really neat relationships. My husband started a Bible study 2 years ago for the team. It's open to anybody, but generally speaking, the kids who know the Lord or who are involved in a church of some sort are the ones that come. But it's been really powerful to see how God has used just us wanting to be there, wanting to be cheerleaders, wanting to be a light for our faith and a light for Jesus. And how God's even used our kids. It's been a great way for us to bring them alongside of what we're doing. So that, again, this got me thinking this last spring. Okay, so if I can wear my Osseo gear and cheer on Osseo and represent them, if I can sport my Kale sweatshirt and talk about how great Kale is, maybe I should do something in relation to my faith. I'd rather have people ask me about Jesus than ask me about Kale. I mean, let's be serious here. I really would. I'd rather get into a spiritual conversation. So I'm not usually one to wear shirts that say things. I really don't all that often, except if it's my Osseo stuff. But I saw this cool ad for this company called Ruby's Rubbish. They're in Texas, and they do all these really cool T-shirts, and some of them are faith-based. So I decided I'm going to buy some shirts for myself this spring. I'm going to wear them in the spring and wear them in the summer, and I'm just going to wear these. So more things to show you. This one was my favorite. Really simple. Just says redeemed. I wore this out of the house as much as I could. I even wore it to some track events this summer. Did it start any conversations? No. But I wasn't so sure that it would anyway. It was more that I just wanted to wear it. I just wanted to wear it. I just wanted to find a tangible way for me to represent what I believe. I bought this. I wore it around Easter. It's the best day ever. I did get some people who commented on that. I just wanted a tangible way to talk to people. Am I saying that you need to wear Christian T-shirts? No, I'm not. But what God's been stirring my heart is Celeste, how good are you at promoting Christ? And are you willing to do it? Because I think the thing that holds us back sometimes is fear. We're afraid. Or we're not ready, which leads me into my next point. If we're going to love the lost, if we're going to be a light, we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, ready at any time to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you." And I think, again, the fear plays a part in this. Like, we're afraid. What if they ask me a question I don't know how to answer? And just be honest. I don't know. I don't know, but I believe it. A simple testimony, your simple testimony is going to go so much further than all the knowledge you have on creation and questions you don't know how to answer. God just wants to use our simple testimony. Are you willing? Are you willing? Are you prepared? The third thing is, be joyful. A way of showing love and being loving is to wear our faith as joy on our face. Nothing's going to attract people walking around grumpy all the time. I mean, I try to be aware of that even when I'm in the store or with my kids and how I'm interacting with the kids. I don't want it to be an act, but at the same time, I want people to look and see how we're interacting with each other, is that we're joyful, that we're having fun, that we're smiling. I mean, I kind of even coach my kids when we go on errands. Okay, guys, remember, what do we need to do? We need to smile and be friendly. That's what we say, smile and be friendly. You say hello to the person that's checking you out. They give you a sticker at Target. What do we say? We say thank you. It blows people away, honestly, that my kids will say thank you for the sticker, led by my oldest. Smiling and being joyful makes a difference. It makes an impact. One thing that I try to do and I need to do more of is address the cashiers by name when I'm at Target. I try to do that. I look at their name tag and say, thank you, Joe. It's easy. But most people don't get called by their name when they're just doing their job. I think going out of our way, being joyful, being happy, is a real tangible way to show God's love. And the last point here is be giving. Be giving. Philippians 2:4 says, everyone should look not only for his own interests, but also to the interests of others. If we see people who have needs around us, be willing to jump in and help with those needs. James 2:14-17. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but does not have works? Can such faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothes and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, stay warm, and be well fed, but you don't give them what the body needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith, if it doesn't have works, is dead by itself. A way for us to show our faith to those around us is by putting it into action. putting it into action, by doing things. There's lots of ways that this can be done. And the ways that you can do it might be different for you from somebody else, depending on where you live, depending on who your neighbors are, depending on the places that you go the most often. I just encourage you to just be thinking, what are ways that I could be more giving of myself to those that I'm around who don't know the Lord, as a way to show God's love to them. One really brief example that my kids and I do is when we go to Aldi, I always try to, instead of going and putting my cart back, I always try to find somebody who's looking for a cart, and then I just say, I don't need your quarter. Enjoy your day. A lot of people are really surprised by that. It's really funny. Oh, thanks. Mm-hmm. Most people don't just give away a cart. People are that stingy that they want their quarter back. It's a quarter. I don't know. Or if there's nobody around, I leave the cart with the quarter still in it, unhooked, so that somebody can just walk up and go, hey, sweet, a free cart. That's really easy, right? It costs you a quarter. But that's just a really simple thing. I mean, I think there's a lot, so many other things, and honestly, I don't have any more to offer as far as ideas, but I just say, pray about it. Ask God. If you have children, what is something that my kids and I could do? What is something tangible and easy that we could do? That's just something that what my kids and I do. Give those hearts away. Smile. They have a nice day. It's really, really simple. All right, so I'm going to move into my next section here, which is on loving the church. And I want to start by saying that these are hard points. And I think, for me personally, I'm not going to speak for everybody in this room, but for me personally, loving the church is more challenging than loving the lost. Why? Because they have the Holy Spirit. Yeah. They should know better. Right? I think that's our thought process is, I feel really hurt by that sister or that brother. They should know better. They shouldn't be treating me like that. They shouldn't treat people like that. They have the Holy Spirit living inside of them. We hold our brothers and sisters to a higher standard, which we should. But that higher standard makes it harder on our hearts to love them, to be willing to overlook an offense, to not hold a grudge, to forgive somebody, to believe the best about somebody, because we expect them to do better. It's a lot easier to love the lost because they don't have the Holy Spirit guiding them. They don't have God's word convicting them. So it's easier to make allowances for that, I think. So, like I said, I'm speaking for myself, but maybe it's true for you too, that this is hard. Loving the church is hard work. But it's what God wants us to do. In fact, he emphasizes it more than loving the lost. In Galatians 6:10, from the Amplified, it says, "So then, while we, as individual believers, have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, not only being helpful, but also doing that which promotes their spiritual well-being, and especially be a blessing to those of the household of faith, or born-again believers." Especially. That's supposed to be more important. There's a whole chapter in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 13, all about love. Love is powerful. Love is from God. And love is what he wants us to show to our church, to our sisters, to our brothers. So this is good stuff, but it's hard. It's hard. This first point, I will be honest, it's hard for me. It's one of the things that I feel like I wrestle with a lot. And that is believe the best about each other. Stay away from judgment. It's hard. It's one of my trip-ups. It's where the devil likes to trip me up a lot in my mind, is not choosing to believe the best about somebody else. 1 Corinthians 13:7. I just mentioned that. It's the love chapter. But I just want to talk about a specific part of that. So this is all things pertaining to love. But 1 Corinthians 13:7 says, "It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." Love believes all things. We're told right there that love believes all things. Matthew 7:1-5, "Do not judge, so that you won't be judged. For you will be judged by the same standard with which you judge others, and you will be measured by the same measure you use. Why do you look at the splinter in your brother's eye, but don't notice the beam of wood in your own? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take that splinter out of your eye, and look, there's a beam of wood in your own'? You hypocrite! First take the beam of wood out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to take the splinter out of your brother's eye." James 4:11, "Don't criticize one another, brothers and sisters. Anyone who defames or judges a fellow believer defames and judges the law.
If you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge.
Romans 2, 3 through 4. Do you really think any one of you who judges those who do such things, yet you do the same, that you will escape God's judgment? Or do you despise the riches of his kindness, restraint, and patience, not recognizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? I think that verse is so convicting. You who judge those who do such things, that you do the same. I think we can overlook issues that we're having, but we magnify them in other people. Well, look at you. You need to fix that when we have the same problem. God says that's wrong. God says that's wrong. Not recognizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance. My husband is famous for telling me when I come to him, maybe having a problem, maybe I'm struggling with believing the best, and he just says to me, Celeste, you just need to worry about yourself. You just need to worry about yourself. And I praise God that he is willing to tell me that. I don't always want him to tell me that, but he does, faithfully. And it's so good for me. God has used my husband's voice in my life to go, that's right, I just need to worry about myself here. I got my own issues. I got my own things I need to grow in. I do not need to worry about so-and-so's issue. That's theirs. That's between them and the Lord. Now, there might come a time when you need to lovingly approach a sister about something that they need to grow in, an area that you see that might be really tripping them up or causing or affecting other people. And you can go to them in love and talk with them about it. But if that's not the point that you're at, if you know it's not something you need to talk to them about, it's really just your own issue, go to the Lord with your heart. Get your heart right. Choose to believe the best. We might not always understand people's choices. We might not always agree with them, but that doesn't necessarily mean people's choices or decisions are sin. They just might be different from your own, and you just might not understand. It might not make sense to you, but that doesn't make it sin. If it's sin, then you can go and talk to somebody about it. But that's where I can get tripped up sometimes. Like, I don't know, I just don't really agree with that. I don't know why they made that decision. That doesn't make sense to me. But that doesn't make it wrong. It just means that we need to guard our heart. The second one is also, I think, equally hard, especially for women. But don't compare yourselves to others. A way of showing love to your sisters by not comparing yourself to them. Don't compare yourself. Galatians 6, 3 through 5 says, "For if anyone considers himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Let each person examine his own work, and then he can take pride in himself alone and not compare himself with someone else. For each person will have to carry his own load." I like the fact that this version actually says, not compare yourself. We're told right there, don't do it. Examine your own work. Don't compare yourself to others. We're each responsible before God. When we compare, we open the door to bitterness and discontent in our heart towards our sisters, and that's not love. It's just not. It's not loving. The third point here is something God's had on my heart since this last February. Some of you may have gone to it, but Pat and Cindy Sokol were here and did a marriage conference for all the Evergreen locations, and it was not recorded, so they want it to be a very experiential thing, so they don't record these conferences. But it's really powerful. And basically, the whole gist of the weekend is learning empathy. So number three is be empathetic. It's been on my heart that I need to grow in this. I am not naturally empathetic. I think some of us are, it comes very naturally, and some of us it does not. And I'm one that really has to think. I'm an oldest child, so my oldest personality is, well, let me give you a solution to that problem. Let me tell you how you should fix this. Let me tell you how you should avoid that problem, you know. But that's not, in most cases, when people are sharing their heart with you, they're not looking for a solution. They're looking for you to listen. And they're looking for you just to give them a hug or I'm really sorry you're going through that. I'll pray for you. And let me say this about that phrase, I'll pray for you. It's really easy to say that, isn't it? I think that's just the blanket. I'll pray for you.
It's a way to get out of your conversation sometimes.
Thank you for sharing. I'll pray for that. It's not always the best thing to say, but if you say it, do you mean it? Do you actually go home that night and do you pray for that person? Do you get up the next morning and say, I told them I would pray. I'm going to pray for this situation in their life. If you say it, you need to do it. You really do. And I was really convicted by that. When I tell somebody I'm going to pray for them, am I doing it? It's revolutionized my prayer life this fall. I changed some things. I felt like I wasn't focused enough on my prayer life. I can have the excuse of I'm a busy mom with 5 kids, but I need to make this happen. So I have been. And I started a prayer list, and I pray specific things on Monday, and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I have 5 kids, so one gets Monday, one gets Tuesday, and one gets Wednesday, and so on. But I have other things that I list on specifically, because if you were to, you could rack up a couple hours if you wanted to pray for every single person, every single thing, and I don't have that kind of time. I don't know about you. I can't pray for 2 hours in the morning. I just don't have that time. I'd have to get up at like 4 in the morning. That, for me, that's not normal. Maybe for my dad, but for me. I like to tease him about that. If you tell somebody that you're going to pray for them, you need to really do it. And something that I've been challenged with myself is then follow up. A text, maybe the next day, maybe a couple days later, and say, hey, thank you for sharing with me the other night. I just want to let you know I've been praying for you. That's it. Let that person know they're important to you, that you prayed for them. That will mean so much. Just a real simple text. Maybe texting isn't your thing. Maybe you'd rather a personal phone call. My husband is a personal phone call kind of guy. So why don't you just call them? Well, they're probably busy. They have children too. That's my excuse to not call people. But really, I don't have that much time to talk on the phone, so it's 10 of the time that somebody needs me on my attention is when I'm on the phone. Texting is better. Or maybe it's sending a card. Nobody sends cards anymore, but they're so personal and they mean a lot. Follow up with a card in the mail. We've been praying about you this week. Share a scripture. Maybe that applies to their situation. But this takes thought. It takes thinking it through and actually doing it. Doing it. Sometimes saying nothing and just giving them a hug is the best thing to do. Sometimes it's just giving them a hug and saying what I said earlier. Thank you for sharing that with me. And maybe you feel like you need to say more, but you don't know what to say. Say that. I don't know what to tell you, but I'm glad you told me, and I will pray for you. I will pray for you, the situation in your life. Because saying the wrong thing isn't what you want to do. I don't know. I want to try to describe this. Some of you, if you were at the conference, you probably saw them play this video, and it was really hilarious, but it really drove the point home. And it was a husband and wife sitting on the couch. You could just kind of barely see their faces. She was talking about, oh, and my head just hurts all the time, and I'm in so much pain. And my sweaters, they're all snagged, like all of them. And it pans up to a nail stuck in her forehead. And the husband's just sitting there looking at her. She finally finishes, and he goes, well, if you could just take the nail out of your forehead, it would probably solve all your problems. And she was like, but it's not about the nail. She just wanted him to listen to her woes and to listen to the pain that she's going through. And so he collects himself and he's like, that sounds really hard. Thank you. And they go to kiss and the nail bonks him in the head. He's like, oh. But it was really powerful. We actually showed it to our cross-country Bible study because we thought it was so powerful about people. Someday, they don't want you to tell them to take that nail out of their head, even though it's so obvious to you. They just want you to listen. They just want you to say, that sounds really hard. This is a hard thing to do, but something you have to practice. And that's what God's really been convicting my heart on, being empathetic. And one more verse I wanted to share on this too, and I think this is really powerful. Hebrews 13:3. Remember those in prison as though you were in prison with them, and the mistreated as though you yourselves were suffering bodily. Empathy is putting yourself in someone else's shoes and walking with them, feeling with them. Some of us aren't so good at feeling with others. I really think we need to grow in that. Okay, These next couple of points, I think, are the points that make you squirm a little bit. At least I called them this, my squirmy points. But they're really powerful in showing love to your sisters, because I think, especially this point, number four, I think for women, we can get easily caught up in this, and we might not even realize it. But number four, don't be a gossip. Don't be a gossip. Proverbs especially has so much to say on this, I could have written several more verses out, but I didn't. Ephesians 4:29.
No foul language should come from your mouth, but only what is good for building up someone in need, so that it gives grace to those who hear.
Proverbs 11:13. A gossip goes around revealing a secret, but a trustworthy person keeps a confidence. Proverbs 20, verses 19.
The one who reveals secrets is a constant gossip. Avoid someone with a big mouth. Avoid.
I think gossip separates, Proverbs even says that, gossip separates friends. It does. It's hurtful, but it has powerful repercussions when we're not guarding our tongue. I was talking with a sister this morning, and I said, you know, in relation to gossip, I think sometimes we can spiritualize what we're telling somebody else in the form of a prayer request. Hey, I'm going through this, or so-and-so is going through this. We should pray for them. You should pray for them. When really, it wasn't not our right to share that information with somebody else, but we can turn it into something that sounds spiritual, when really, it's just gossip. And I have found myself in that position before. And honestly, I have walked away. The Holy Spirit has convicted my heart. I've turned around and gone back to my friend and said, I should not have shared that. That was not my right to share that information with you. Would you forgive me for sharing something I shouldn't have shared with you? The Holy Spirit will convict you. If this is an area that you struggle with, or maybe you don't realize you're struggling with it, God's going to convict you on it. But it's powerful, and it drives wedges between our sisters. I think another way that you might know if you're struggling with this area is if you feel like close people in your life aren't sharing a lot of real personal information. Maybe there's a reason. Maybe they think that you're not going to keep that information to yourself. And I think sometimes we can do it unintentionally, but that's why we have to be really intentional in our thoughts and in our conversations to guard what's coming out of our mouth, to guard what we're talking about with our sisters. Saying things that build each other up, just like it talks about in Ephesians, is what's coming out of my mouth good for building this person up? So I just want you to prayerfully pray over that area. If you feel like maybe I don't watch over what I say as much, pray over that. Ask God to reveal to you how you can be more mindful of the conversations that you're having with others and what things that you're sharing with others. Number five, this one's hard. Don't hold a grudge. Forgive one another. This is a way of showing love. Colossians 3, 12-14 says, therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a grievance against you. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you are also to forgive. Above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond, the unity. Luke 17, 3-4, be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day and comes back to you seven times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. Could it be any more clear? We're supposed to forgive. Endless. Seven really just means however many times they come back and apologize, you just need to forgive. You need to just keep on forgiving. Keep on forgiving. Ephesians 4, 31 through 32, let all bitterness, anger, wrath, shouting, and slander be removed from you, along with all malice, and be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. If ever I'm struggling with forgiveness, I feel like I have to remind myself of all that God's forgiven me for, which is a lot. I think we have to keep that in our frame of reference when we feel that we've been wronged by somebody else, to just remember how much God has forgiven us for. And I think that helps to change our perspective. Sisters, holding a grudge does not promote love. It doesn't promote love. It holds us back from really loving. It holds us back from really loving when we have a grudge in our heart against somebody else. Sometimes that unforgiveness or that grudge might mean that you do need to go sit down with somebody and have a conversation and tell them, I've been having a hard time with this with you, and I need to ask for your forgiveness because I haven't forgiven you for this. Sometimes it means having a hard conversation. Sometimes it just means you need to have talk with your Heavenly Father, and you need to get it right with Him. It might not be the best thing to talk to the person about the situation because maybe it's something they don't even know, or maybe it's something that you just know, I need to just change this in my heart. And you need to do that with the Lord. The next thing is encourage one another. Encourage one another. And that might be going back to Ephesians up here, 4:29, which is what you're saying, good for building up somebody else. Are you encouraging others? Hebrews 10:24. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Motivate, also kind of encourage and motivate are very similar. We could say, let us think of ways to encourage one another to acts of love and good works. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up as you are already doing. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. And we exhort you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle, comfort the discouraged, help the weak, be patient with everyone. We need to just encourage one another. Look for opportunities to say an encouraging word to somebody else. Kind of what was on the, I think there was something on the bingo card about say something encouraging to somebody else. Something that would lift them up. Something that would encourage them in their faith. Seek to be encouraging to one another. That's a way of showing love. Number 7, give your time and your resources. 1 John 3:17 says, if anyone has this world's goods and sees a fellow believer in need, but withholds compassion from him, how does God's love reside in him? And the rest of that verse goes on to say, little children, let us not love in word or speech, but in action and in truth. In action and in truth. We need to let God's love propel us to action. Propel us to action to those who are around in our church family by giving our time, by giving our money. When there's a need, jumping in, being the first to raise your hand. A tangible way to do that for a lot of us in house churches who have moms having new babies, that's, you know, bringing meals. That's a tangible, easy thing. If you, you know, if you're not really a good cook, give them a gift card. Something that would just really bless them in that time of need. That's really tangible. We have a lot of people having babies at the Rock. It's something that really is a blessing to others. I'll give an example. Currently, a dear sister who's pregnant, and she gets extremely, extremely sick. Really, 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 really sick. And she has a couple of the young children. And just this last week, her husband had to be out of town on a business trip while she's extremely, extremely sick. So bad this week, she couldn't get out of bed even one day. And just women who knew her just rallied this week. She had somebody over at her house every single day this week, helping put her kids to bed, bringing her food, going to the grocery store, taking her youngest son for her. She said, I would not have been able to get through this week without my church family jumping in to help. It's going to mean sacrifice. Giving our time and resources is not always practical. For us, maybe, or we're so busy, we don't have time to do this. I have all of these things going on. Being a blessing to somebody else a lot of times means sacrificing our time for their benefit. But it's a blessing, and it's something that God is calling us to do. It's a practical way of showing real, genuine love for our brothers and sisters. And honestly, ladies, I think that's what's really special about The Rock. This happens here. We serve each other, and that is special. It's real. People sense it, they see it, and they go, wow, this is something special here. And I think this is something we do a really good job at. But we still need to be mindful of that, of not making those excuses in our mind about why I really can't jump in to help now because of this, and this. Think of a way that it works for you. If it's not monetarily, maybe it's giving time. Let God help you. Let God lead you in that, but find ways to give your time and your resources to your brothers and sisters. And the last point here that I have is we need to rejoice with one another. We need to weep with one another. And that really kind of goes with empathy here. We need to feel with one another. Romans 12:15 tells us just to do that. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. God wants us to be together in feeling. He wants us to experience joy together, experience sorrow and sadness together. I can think of a number of times when I've had girlfriends call me up on the phone to share something in tears, and I've cried with them because I want to, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling for them. I'm feeling for them. A dear friend of mine this last summer, and some of you know this story, her little boy nearly drowned, had a near-drowning experience. And she called me on the phone within hours of it happening, and she was already sobbing on the phone, and I was like, something bad has happened. And she couldn't get the words out, and she was stumbling, and at first I thought she told me he died, and instantly I'm just beside myself with grief. And then she was able to, you know, explain that he almost drowned, but she, by God's grace, brought him back herself. Moms don't usually do this. The ER doctor told you, you are special. Do you have medical training? Because most mothers do not react this way. She pulled him out, started immediately giving him CPR and mouth-to-mouth. And within a minute, he was conscious again and coughing up all the water. It was a miracle, really, that it happened that way. But my heart, my grief for her, I mean, I was sobbing on the phone with my sister because I felt that. I felt that loss. God wants us to do that with each other. And maybe it's not going to be as heavy as almost losing a child. But there's going to be times when we have people who are crying and they're hurt with us. Are we feeling that hurt with them? Doesn't mean you have to cry. Some of us just by nature are not criers. But is that tenderizing our heart? Is our heart soft to their pain? Is our heart happy for their joy when they get a job that they've been praying for, when they find out they're expecting? There's going to be times when people around you are getting things that you want and you're not getting, and God's asking you to rejoice with them anyway. And that's hard. That is hard, but it's loving. It shows love to your brothers and your sisters. This is a lot of stuff. You're probably feeling challenged as I am. My mind is kind of on overload right now with all of this. But I pray that God has moved in your heart in some way through this morning, and that God would just reveal to you where you can grow in showing love to others. I want to close with this verse. It's kind of my exhortation to you this morning, also from 1 Peter, but 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you, be like-minded and sympathetic, love one another, and be compassionate and humble. This will bring about unity. This will bring us together in unity, this verse here. I want to close in prayer, and then I'm going to give instructions about what we're going to do next. Lord, your word is so rich in wisdom and insight into how we should love one another. I just thank you for that, Lord. I pray, God, that you would mold us into women who lavish love on those we are around, on both the lost and on our dear sisters and brothers in Christ. God, may we never tire of it. Give us your strength and power where we feel weak. And may we seek to be a blessing to those that we are around, Lord. I just thank you for these women. I thank you for this morning. I thank you for bringing them here. I ask that you would bless the rest of our time. Bless this time of prayer that we're going to move into. Bless our fellowship together, God. And just allow us to be unified in love for one another, God. I just lift these things up in your name, Lord. Amen.